Paul left Titus to set in order things that were lacking. And that's what he is doing. We've been looking at Titus. Today we're going to start talking about Titus chapter 2. And it's about older men and older women and their attributes and their qualities. All of us need to recognize the value of the older men and women. They've labored in the Lord's church for many years. You know, they have wisdom, they have talents, they have abilities, and those can be a great benefit to the cause of Christ. And hopefully we'll never make them feel, you know, unneeded or unwanted. Tom Holland wrote, "The younger need the older to show them the way." And I love that quote. Because that's what we're going to see in this morning's lesson. And if the Lord allows us to be here next Sunday, we'll continue this lesson. This morning, we're looking at the attractive attributes of older men. Next week, it'll be the older women. Our text, of course, comes from Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes to Titus, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience." The first thing we see here is that true teaching is a must. You know, everything is based upon the Word of God. And that's where we need to go for everything. And so Paul here begins by saying, you know, Titus is what we would call a located preacher back at that time. Paul tells Titus, make sure the things that you speak, the things that you teach, the things that you preach, are what? Proper for sound doctrine, for sound teaching. Now remember, in the last chapter, Paul had just discussed false teachers and unhealthy doctrine. So he says, Titus, make sure that your teaching is healthy. Because those false teachers, it was unsound, it was unhealthy, and it would be potentially fatal to those that heard them. And that's why it's so critical for every Bible teacher and Bible writer and preacher and speaker to make sure that everything he says comes from the Word. That's what we need to know. And so that's what Paul is emphasizing to Titus. Make sure that what you speak is good for sound teaching, healthy teaching. And why is this so important? Because teaching influences behavior. We see that in our world. We see the outcomes in some of our public schools and different things where wrong teaching has produced bad behavior. So Paul here is emphasizing to Titus, good teaching is going to produce good behavior. You might say we are what we're taught. So Titus had a tremendous responsibility there to make sure that what he was teaching would help those Christians be healthy, be sound, be mature, all of those things. So true doctrine, true teaching keeps us healthy. That's why we need to spend so much time in the Word. That's what nourishes us. We'll see that a little bit later in this lesson, but that's what nourishes us. So Titus was to speak things that are proper. When you look at that word, it means, has the idea of something that is befitting, or it becomes sound doctrine. And the original word has the idea of to be conspicuous among other things. You know, sound teaching, sound doctrine, healthy doctrine will be very different than unhealthy, unsound doctrine. And so that's the word Paul chose here by inspiration. It is proper for sound doctrine. So belief and behavior need to be consistent. They need to be consistent. What you believe and how you act should go together. And so this emphasizes again why Titus's role and his job was so critical to the health of those people. Make sure, Titus, that what you're saying is good for the people. And if it comes from God's word, it's going to be good for them. So you have a great responsibility, Titus, as every Bible teacher and preacher and so forth does today. They have a great responsibility. So belief and behavior need to be consistent. See, that was the problem, one of the main problems with the Pharisees. And Jesus knew that. In that chapter that we have recorded where Jesus speaks to the Pharisees, Matthew 23, that's what he tells them. Read with me the first four verses of Matthew 23. You'll see what I'm talking about. Matthew 23, the first four verses. Says, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So when the scribes and Pharisees spoke from the law of Moses, Jesus says, listen to them. Just don't behave like they do. Don't behave like them at all. I remember years and years ago talking to some preachers, and they were talking about this particular preacher who had got himself in trouble. And he got himself in trouble because his behavior didn't match his beliefs, what he was teaching. See, that was the problem with these Pharisees. And it is a problem. So our beliefs and our behavior need to be consistent. When they're not, we're going to have internal conflict. You know, our brains are not going, our brain is not going to work right. There's going to be conflict. But when our belief and our behavior match, then our minds are going to be, you know, in harmony. See, older men and women, they never outgrow the need for teaching. They never outgrow, regardless of how long they've been a Christian, how old they are, they'll never outgrow the need for teaching. In other words, they're never going to reach an age when they cannot be taught. So all, and especially he's addressing older men now, older men need to take God's word very seriously. Very seriously, because that's what makes them healthy. Makes them spiritually healthy. Older men who have been in the Lord's church for many years should have a very good knowledge of the Bible. From what they've heard in class, from what they've heard in sermons, from what they've studied themselves, they should have a good knowledge of the word. Why? Well, they've been willing to spend a lot of time at it. You know, studying God's word. So they know what it teaches. So that their behavior can be based upon their beliefs. They shouldn't be like those that the Hebrew writer addresses in Hebrews 5. Listen to verses 12 and 13. This is how we don't want to be. Hebrews 5, verses 12 and 13. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have need, come to need of milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. You know, someone that's been a Christian for 30, 40, 50, 60 years should not be a babe in Christ. they should have a very good knowledge of the Word. And that knowledge should have reaped spiritual fruit. And that older man should be a good citizen in the kingdom, a good example in lots of different ways. Here's how he should be. Verse 14 of that same passage in Hebrews says, "But solid food belongs to those who are at full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So every year that we're in the Lord's church, we should be more mature than we were a year ago. We should, because of our study, our maturing, we should be able to discern good and evil better. You know, being mature in Christ is being able to tell the difference between right and almost right. A lot of times it's easy to tell the difference between right and wrong, but being able to tell the difference between right and almost right, that takes a whole lot more time and study. But older men who have been in the Lord's church for many years should be able to do that. And so Paul left Titus with that responsibility. Titus, tell the older men there in the church, this is what you need to be like. You need to be mature. And so he mentions these qualities in the second verse. He says, first of all, older men should be sober. This is a healthy mental condition that shows itself in self-control. See, that's a problem with drinking alcohol. First drink, you start losing self-control. That's why people do dumb things when they drink. It affects their brain immediately. So this means mastering your appetites. It also means that if you're sober, you know, you're watchful. You're vigilant. Older men realize that for them, time is short. You know, I'm much nearer passing than I was a year ago or 10 years ago. I'm much nearer that now. And so older men need to recognize that. Need to make sure that their life is together. They're to be reverent. And there's a lot of words, I think, that are synonymous with reverent, but I'll tell you my favorite here in a minute. Reverent has to do with being grave, being serious. My favorite word is dignified. If someone is reverent, they're dignified. In other words, they understand life is not a game. Now, that's not what life is. Life is not a game. It's not about seeking new ways to have fun. It's about serving Jehovah. It's about preparing for eternity. And when this same apostle wrote to the church in Colossae, this is what he told them in the third chapter. Verses 23 and 24. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." And then notice verse 25. "But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he's done, and there's no partiality." See, they realize that. They're preparing for eternity by being a servant, by serving. They're reverent, they're dignified. And then he says they're also temperate. "Mark by moderation." In other words, they're not extremists. The older men should realize the cost of self-indulgence and what it produces. This also includes the idea of being discreet. Being discreet. So the older men here can show the younger men the way. you know, the way to develop these Christ-like qualities. Setting an example. Well, he goes on and talks about the spiritual health of the older men by using three expressions, all dealing with being sound, healthy, in good shape. So he says, first of all, they need to be sound in faith. There is an article there, sound in the faith. I think there's two things there that should come to our attention. Their faith was and should be genuine. It needs to be a real, genuine faith, not something they inherited from somebody, but something they've developed on their own. This is the same type of thing that Paul wrote in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, it's Paul talking to Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." It's genuine. See, older men should have, by this time, a very strong conviction. And the only way we can have a strong conviction, that we can have a strong faith, is if it is built on the faith. That's why I said I think both appear in this description. The Word of God. One more time, 2 Timothy chapter 1, this time verse 13 says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Hold fast. Cling to it like your life depends upon it, because it does. That's what he's telling the older men. A healthy faith is essential. It's essential. Remember, the Hebrew writer talks about faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Notice what he says in verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible." So if we have a sound faith, a wholesome faith, a strong faith, it keeps us from losing heart, keeps us from giving up, and it enables us to hang on, if you will, to think about things that are important, eternal things. The second letter we have that recorded that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, he tells them much the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, near the end of it, he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." See, an older man in the faith should understand that. Yeah, this older man deteriorating. Mine's deteriorating at an alarming rate. I had two heavy boxes to carry out Friday at school. Did I carry them? Of course not. Last hour, I have a whole bunch of athletes in there. Carry them. Then they come back and said, they weren't that heavy. I wanted to slap them. They were heavy for me. Why? Because my outward body, just like Paul wrote, deteriorating. Next year it'll be worse if I live that long. Next year. But Paul said the inward man, that's the one I should be concerned about, is being renewed day by day. That's what he tells us. So sound in the faith. Then he says you should be sound in love. Pure love, uncorrupted love. That's the type of love Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1. sincere love of the brethren. It's goodwill. It's benevolence. So as we grow older, as older men, this love keeps us from becoming bitter, cynical, spiteful, critical. In 1 John chapter 3, you know, John was an older man when he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, he writes, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." That's the kind of love. See, by this time, the older men who've been in the faith for a long time, just like John here, he was convinced of the importance of being sound in love. And then lastly, he says you need to be sound in patience. Steadfast, persistent, you need to persevere, you need to endure. Never give up or quit. You know, you have been a Christian for many years. Don't quit now. You know, the finish line is much, much closer now than it was. You know, you can see it. It's a lot closer. So don't give up. Don't quit. So endure, persevere, whatever it takes, you endure to the end. So that means you don't become careless or unfaithful. We need to do just like Paul the aged. You know, he was older. He knew his life was about over when he wrote 2 Timothy. And toward the end of 2 Timothy, this is what the older man Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul knew it was very close. The end of his race was very, very close. "I fought the good fight." We need to be able to say the same thing. "I finished the race. I kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." But then he ends by saying, "And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So Paul is telling Titus pretty much the same thing. You tell the older men there, Titus, and the church and the congregation, they need to endure to the end. They need to persevere. They need to make sure they don't give up or quit. Keep on, because they have an important role to play in the church. They can be a great example of these qualities they just talked about. Good fathers, good husbands, good teachers, good Bible students, men of character, men of strength. I'm going to end by reading something in the Old Testament, Psalm 92. And listen to verses 12 through 15. These are some great verses. Psalm 92, beginning in verse 12. "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. They shall still bear fruit in old age." Become men of character, strength, integrity. And that's what we need to become. Next week, we're going to do the same thing with older women. The Lord allows us to be here, and I hope he does. This morning, Doug has picked out an invitation song to help us think about our soundness. Are we healthy in the Lord? Maybe we need to come and ask for the prayers of the congregation for strength. And if so, I encourage you to do that as we stand and sing this song.